Chapter 4. The stag beetle clacked its drooling, pincered jowls as it eyed me with its multiple iridescent eyeballs. Its head was a cross between an earwig with the pincers and a shark with the way its weird eyes were stuck on either side of its anvil-shaped skull. Basically, it was like the spiders from Harry Potter had horrifying abominations with jaws. And this one was royally pissed off that I wasn't a sexy lady stag beetle like he was expecting. "Mech!" I called out when I finally noticed the large man had somehow disappeared from my sight like a soundless ninja. "Trust me, Alex," came his deep voice, and I realized he had shimmied his way up a tree somewhere in the canopy above. "You're kind of making that hard, big guy," I remarked as I tried to keep as still as possible. "Is this some sort of initiation? Hazing? Like, welcome to our way of life, now earn your balls as a man and try not to die sort of thing?"
"Alex, focus. I promise nothing will happen to you while I am here," Mech reassured me.
But that was easy for him to say when Big Mama Jamma wasn't staring at him like he was his next snack.
"Don't think I'm going to let you change the subject so easily," I called upward as the beast in front of me extended its skinny neck and shuffled toward me.
It was really difficult not to move, especially when the stag beetle gave the impression it could actually see with those disco ball eyes.
"I will answer all the questions you want, but for now you need to focus because the stag is getting ready to lunge."
The man's deep voice bounced around the clearing, and I saw he was right as those eight creepy legs buckled slightly like a cat getting ready to pounce.
"Shit!"
I gasped as I dove out of the way. The stag's pincers swished through the air behind me, and I didn't have to get up close to know how sharp they were, and fast. It seemed like the second I managed to get my feet back under me, I had to roll away again to avoid the train plow of its jet-black horns, and I figured it must be nice to have more than two legs as I continued to dance away from the creature. This had the added benefit of telegraphing my location with every step I took. Of course, this only pissed the creature off even more by going by the enraged howls it let out when I jumped away from another snapping claw.
"Focus, Alex!" Mech roared from the canopy. "Open the goddess's eye!"
"The goddess's... Whoa!"
I leaned back to avoid the next swipe attack, but I didn't see the tangle of uprooted trees until they were wrapped around my ankles and sent me careening to the ground.
"Fuck!"
I tore some of the roots back with me as I dodged swipe after swipe, and even one lethal stab from one of its many branching antlers, until the biggest root trapping my right ankle halted me from moving away farther.
"The goddess's eye, Alex!"
the ram lord bellowed again, and it was all I could do to brace my left foot on the thorax of the stag to prevent it from ripping off my face with its snapping pincers.
"I don't know what that means!"
I yelled back, as the body of the beast tried to flatten me into submission. I gripped its horns as if I was wrestling a bull, and then I attempted to turn the massive head to the side and away from my carotid.
"Hang on, I'm coming down!"
Mech yelled, but before I could respond, my left foot, keeping the stag away from me, slipped, and the beast all but crushed me. My adrenaline spiked through my blood, and the well of the time trance inside me swelled like high tide. I could feel that mysterious power lying dormant inside of me, and I just needed an extra edge of something in order to trigger it. Usually something high stakes like the freak show on top of me currently hissing and dripping nasty gray mucus all over my face and chest was enough to do it, but I just couldn't get a handle on my focus.
"Gah!"
I screamed and struggled with all my might.
"Open your mind, son!"
the ram lord shouted, and I could hear the sound of thudding footsteps as if he was running toward me.
"Open your mind and let the power flow!"
My heart hammered inside my chest like a snare drum, but I recognized the undeniable swelling of power within me, and I listened to Mech's frantic words. Tick. The stag's chattering, hissing jowls snap, snap, snapped as time began to slow, and the streams of time manifested all around me like a swift river being diverted in all directions. Tick. The beat of my heart clanged against my ribs, and the power that was synonymous with my pulse was banging a metaphorical metal cup against prison bars like it was hungry to be released. Tick. The stag was strong, and even though the time trance was slowing Mama Jamma down, it didn't stop him from pressing me into the hard ground like a Salem witch. I needed a solution.
I needed to... Alex! Asher Mech's voice reverberated through the air at half speed, as if he really was the voice of thunder and the throat of war. And even though I couldn't see where he was exactly, I could see how the air bent and flexed from the sound waves of his deep command.
Focus!
I poured out the power through the cracks in the seed pod and widened them so more of the time trance welled through me. Tick. Slower and slower the stag moved, but I was still being pressed into the loamy earth, and I knew I needed just that last edge of the time trance that allowed me to stop time completely. I'd managed to do a time freeze only once, when I fought that orange-haired mercenary fuck Gull, who made the mistake of trying to act smarter than he actually was. In fact, I was in a similar position now as I was then, and I was hoping the muscle memory of my current predicament might help me. Tch. The stag beetle stopped mid-snap, and I went cross-eyed as a globule of mucousy saliva froze in its descent above my face. Ugh, I groaned, and I slithered my way out from under the creature of nightmare, got to my feet, and wiped the muck out of my eyes. The time freeze wavered as I glanced around, and at the far end of the clearing, the Ramlord was frozen mid-run with his curved dagger brandished high and a look of terror on his open face. I felt spitefully glad he looked a bit terrified, and I almost wished I could draw things out to just make him squirm a little. Then again, I glanced back at the ugly stag beetle as the time freeze wavered again. I knew I only had moments before the trance collapsed like last time, and I didn't hesitate to position myself behind the gross creature, grab its creepy beetle antlers, and right when the time freeze shattered like a glass bottle, I gave a sharp twist, and the stag's fragile periscoping neck snapped with a crunch. Fuck! I couldn't help but grunt out. And then I thudded to my knees when time snapped back to its originally scheduled programming. Oh, fucking fuck! Oh, my friend! Mech said, as he knelt in the dirt beside me with his broad baseball mitt of a hand on my shoulder. I had wondered, and I had hoped, but the confirmation of your blessed powers has sealed it. What? I asked, through the bleariness suddenly fogging my mind. Eat this, the Asher Lord said, and handed me a spiky-looking yellow thing that reminded me of some Dr. Seuss-inspired mushroom cap. Why should I trust you when you basically left me to die? I asked through a glare. You also need to start explaining how you know things from my earth, or I'm going to walk right out of here, regardless of if I offend your honor or not.
You were in no danger. I had everything under control, I promise, the big man said, with a placating gesture.
You say you promise, and yet you kind of lied just now. So you can see where I might be a tad confused, I shot back.
You are right. The deception on my behalf could have been avoided if only I was smart enough to think of a better plan, he said, and lowered his horned head. But I needed to make sure.
Sure of what? I demanded.
Sure that you really were a traveler, he stated, and held the hairy mushroom up even higher. Please, just eat this. It will help clear the haze in your mind left from overexerting so much power. Then you will be able to listen to me with open ears.
I sighed and crammed the weird fungus in my mouth so I could chew it up as fast as I could. I wasn't a big fan of mushrooms, but this one wasn't so bad. Actually, it was kind of tasty in the way a nice prime rib with horseradish was. Suddenly, the cobwebs between my ears vanished, and some of my sour mood lifted, especially when Mech helped me to my feet. Then we sat shoulder to shoulder on the carcass of a fallen tree trunk as I caught my breath and the adrenaline in my blood finally faded.
I really need to know what that was all about, I finally said, as I glanced at the Ramlord.
I know you must be confused, Mech started, as he handed over one more of those yellow mushroom caps for me to munch on.
Let's start with all the things you know about Earth, I suggested. Now that thinking was a little easier, I wasn't quite so pissed off with the man, and instead I found myself being curious more than anything.
Are you from there somehow?
No, I am a native to Aventol, he said, as he shook his horned head. But my grandfather was a traveler from your realm.
Are all travelers from my realm, or are there others? I asked.
No one truly knows how many realms exist, but several travelers came from your world around the time of my grandfather.
He was always sharing things from Earth, and I think among all of my brothers and sisters, I was the one who loved his stories the most.
So, that's why you were able to use all those phrases correctly, I said, and accepted a red woot fruit from the Ramlord.
Yes, like you, he always had an interesting way with words, the big man said with a fond expression on his face, before it faded into something more serious as he looked at me. There are many superstitions about travelers, as you have probably heard.
My wife mentioned being a traveler came with something like that, but she never elaborated on what exactly those superstitions are, I said, as I recalled one of the earliest conversations I'd had with Zoe.
The biggest issue lies with the fact that travelers tend to appear right before some sort of catastrophe in Aventol's history, the Ramlord said.
Like a terrible omen? Yeah, I heard. I scoffed, and bit into the ruby woot fruit so I could drink a mouthful of the fresh water held inside.
An omen is what travelers have become. It's true. However, it has been forgotten why travelers were sent in the first place,
Mech continued, and stood to his feet so he could give me a hand up.
The travelers were sent here to help us. If they weren't, why would they be blessed with Mercedes' gifts?
So I'm not the only traveler who has a special power, I said, more than asked.
It is safe to say most, if not all, travelers have some sort of divine power. My grandfather had something we called the call. He was able to use the authority in his voice to such a degree that he could even make an arrow obey him and stop in midair, or so the legend goes.
Mech then took his curved dagger and walked over to the dead stag beetle. He jammed the blade into the hinge where the stag's mandible attached to the rest of its skull and popped one side out of its socket.
By the time my father had me, my grandfather was too old to demonstrate his once awesome power, so he just had to teach me to control my own.
Wait, you have an ability? I asked, and watched in gross fascination as he popped the mandible out of the other socket and tore the whole horned piece away like an actual rack of antlers.
I inherited the call as well, but mine does not manifest as strongly as his did. It happens sometimes with descendants with traveler blood, but it is rare, which is why not much has been documented. Those travelers tend to keep the knowledge of their gifted children a secret.
He hefted the horn trophy over his shoulder and began to lead us away from the stag and back toward the path. We walked silently for a while until I finally turned to the Ramlord.
Mech, Gavlane,
why did you need to trick me to show you my ability? You could have just asked me. I ducked under a few low-hanging branches as we finally approached the clearing where we left the canterflies to graze.
Would you have really shown me? He asked with a curious expression.
I don't actually know, I admitted, as I side-eyed the man. To be honest, I want to trust you, but I don't know if I can yet.
Ha! Spoken with true wisdom, Mech said, and tied the stag's rack onto the back of his saddle. And I do not blame you. I can only tell you this is the furthest my deception will go from now on, and then extend to you a proposition which is the crux of why I invited you out today.
What proposition? I asked, and I mounted Prosper as the Ramlord did the same with his steed.
From the moment I saw you fight Dagmar, I had an inkling you possessed this power like all travelers do, but I couldn't be sure if it really manifested during that first fight. You move faster than the devil.
I chuckled. I had a gym teacher who said that to me once. He tried to get me to sign up for track.
Track?
Mech inquired politely. It's a sport that's basically just running, I said with a shrug, as the dense forest slowly began to thin.
But now I am sure, because it is very rare for a person who finds themselves in the precarious position of being crushed by a stag to get out of it as seamlessly as you just did.
The Asher Lord turned to me so he could grin.
That was quite a show. But more than that, it is the key to your ultimate survival in Aventol.
What do you mean? I asked, as our mounts returned us to the path back in the direction of the palace.
You are gaining a reputation and success, and eventually your enemies will soon be countless. Which brings me to my offer. I was fortunate enough to have a tutor in my grandfather to help me grow my skill, and it has been the key to my success these many seasons. If you are willing, I would like to provide you the chance to study and improve under my guidance.
You want to train me to get better at my powers? I reiterated, just to give my brain a chance to catch up. Fucking a lot had just happened in a very short period, and my poor under-caffeinated brain was on the struggle bus, it seemed. I tried to understand what the benefit would be to the Asher Lord for doing something that probably took up a considerable amount of time. He was practically the king of the island, for crying out loud. I was sure he had bigger, more important things to do.
"If it is something you are wanting, of course," the big man said affably as he smiled a bearded smile.
"But why would you do that?" I pressed. I was done trying to rationalize his motives in my head and figured the direct approach was the best. "Why me?" The Ramlord stopped his steed so he could look at me with his kind brown eyes.
"Because, my friend, there is something of myself I can see in you. And before long, if you do not master Mercedes' gift, it will consume you from the inside like a star at the end of its life."
Huh. Well, this was news to me. I've got to be honest, I don't even know where to begin. It seems like every answer you give me spawns a dozen more questions. I shook my head slightly as a familiar feeling of frustration welled up within me. It seemed like just when I was getting used to things in this world, something else would come along and throw me for a loop.
"I know this has been a lot to process, so let us start from square one, as my grandfather would say."
The big man chuckled deeply, and then resumed leading us out of the dense forest and back on one of the main roads through the village.
"Think over my proposition of becoming my protege first and foremost. I do not want you to feel like you must heed me. Mercedes knows how much I have unwillingly controlled my subjects to dubious benefits, and in these areas of gray where the council holds no power, I prefer my comrades and colleagues to exercise their own free will, and not just do what I say because I said it."
I was silent for a moment as I let the Ramlord's words sink in. That was a pretty powerful statement, and it gave me the silver lining of hope I needed to partially let my guard down and consider that maybe he really did just want to help me, because it had been done for him. And the being consumed like a dying star thing didn't sound like fun. Where were Jenner's textbooks about that, I wondered.
"You care about your people that much?" I asked, as I glanced at him askance.
"The goodwill of the governed will be starved, if not fed by the good deeds of the governors," the Asher Lord said, with a far-off gaze.
"That's Benjamin Franklin you just quoted," I said, and his tawny eyes tracked over to mine with a curious glimmer. "He was one of the founding fathers, or Ashers, of my country."
"I thought I was quoting my grandfather again," he mused. "How interesting."
"So, where do we go from here?" I asked.
"For now, practice a quiet meditation if you get a chance," he instructed. "By now, your particular power has probably manifested as something you can visualize. This is a powerful tool you will come to rely on. And with practice, you will be able to call up the image in the heat of battle, and not moments away from your last breath."
"That would be nice," I snorted, as the palace came into view. I was really getting tired of having to be in mortal peril before my admittedly cool superpower would freaking work.
"So, meditation, and then what?"
"Patience, son," the Ramlord chuckled. "I have much to teach you, but you must build upon the foundation, which is what we must form first."
"That sounds like something my wife would say," I mused.
"Yes, that one is actually a Vothan warrior proverb," Mech said, with a broad grin on his bearded face. "For now, practice on calling forth the image your power has manifested itself to you. Then try to see how the power flows. I know this sounds vague, but you will know what I mean when you achieve this. When you are sure you have mastered the flow of power, we will move on."
From there, we traversed the streets of the sleepy village, and we stopped occasionally as the Asher Lord paused to interact with his people. People getting ready for the day came out of their houses and places of business as Gavlain Mech went past, and the baker offered us both some of his sweet rolls filled with a minced fruit and nut mixture that tasted a little like figs and almonds.
Then the vendors with their fresh produce stands offered various root vegetables and more of those striped apple things to both Prosper and Lightning. And women with various crafted jewelry came out to adorn the Asher Lord with their handcrafted wares. I even got a few polished beaded bracelets and a necklace made out of a combination of black feathers and something that looked like topaz and wolf's teeth. Through it all, Mech remained patient and concerned, and he knew every single person's name who approached him. By the time we finally made it back to the stables, the sun was high overhead, and one thing was abundantly clear. The people of Mech Valley loved their Ramlord.
"One last thing," Mech said, as we both hopped down from our mounts. "You must take the stag's rack with you."
"Really?" I asked, as he untied the jet-black mandible piece and then fastened it to Prosper's saddle. "What do I do with it?"
"A stag's rack is the only thing of value that is harvested from the kill. It can be pounded down like metal and made into fantastic shields and plated armor," he said,
just as Rylan came out of the stables and took Prosper's reins before another boy of similar age took over for Lightning. "That'll come in handy," I said.
"You really killed a stag beetle, Alex?"
Rylan asked, as he eyed the deadly, razor-sharp mandible.
"That he did, lad,"
Mech boomed and clapped a hand on the kid's shoulder that looked like a sledgehammer pounding in a railroad spike. In fact, I suspected Rylan even sank into the ground a few inches.
"Oh, wow,"
the sandy-haired stable boy said, with his eyes the size of dinner plates. Then, with a little shake of his head, he snapped out of his hero-worshipping stupor.
I'm also to tell you the Lady Zoe and Shelia are awaiting your arrival back in the healing courtyard for a hearty meal.
Will you be joining us? I asked the shaggy-haired Ramlord.
Alas, I cannot, Mech said. But please, stay as long as it pleases you. I will make sure everything is prepared for you by the time you wish to leave.
Thanks for inviting me on the hunt with you, Gavlane, I said, and held out my hand so we could clasp forearms. It was definitely an experience.
You did well, Alex,
the Ramlord praised with one of his megawatt grins.
I'm afraid I did not compose myself with as much finesse when I fought my first stag. Let's just say I may have needed the light of a glowstone by my bed for the entire rut season until I knew the stags were gone and weren't going to drill up through the floor and eat me in my sleep.
There are no guarantees I won't need a nightlight myself after that, I chuckled. And after the brief heart-to-heart the Ramlord shared with me, and seeing how he interacted with his subjects, I was kind of bummed he wasn't going to join us after all.
Ha! I would not blame you if you did, Alex, my friend.
Then the shaggy-haired lord threw back his head and boomed out one of his rolling thunder laughs.
Take care, and I will be in touch. Be on the lookout for a courier with my summons.
Thanks again, Gavlane, I said, and I really meant it. I knew there was more I wanted to get to the bottom of before I could fully trust him, but for now, it was enough. Then, with one last wave from my new ally, I followed one of the palace escorts back to the courtyard with all of the cushioned, comfy areas and hanging incense.
Ah, the triumphant hunter returns,
Jenner drawled from his place atop a tiny tower of pillows as he studied the little notebook in his hands.
I am most glad the beast didn't snap you in twain.
It was a close one, I said with a smile, as my two beautiful wives got up from the plush carpet where they'd been sitting and braiding each other's hair.
Hello, husband.
Zoe kissed my cheek, and I marveled at the beautiful coiled braids strewn all throughout her riot of dark hair. Oh, this looks nice, I remarked, as I nudged one of her braids.
Oh, thank you,
Zoe said as she felt along her woven locks with her fingers.
Shay is teaching me how to plait hair.
I see. I stifled an amused grin as I observed the wreck of Shay's scarlet mane of hair. Various braids of different thicknesses dripped down from her head like rivulets of candle wax. Some were loose and sloppy, and others were tightly bound, like little bungee cords that couldn't help but coil up at the ends because they were so tight. In short, it was a beautiful wreck, and I lightly ran my fingers through that ruby-red hair as much as I could without tangling or tearing the silky strands.
Did you kill the stag, husband?
Shay asked, as I drew her in so I could kiss her hello. I did, I grinned. Mech told me the rack can be transformed into armor. Maybe your brother can do something with it?
That is an excellent idea. I can send Rufus with a correspondence, too, in case he manages to find Tovish.
Shay led me to sit down between the two women where a low table was arranged in the middle of the tasseled rug. Tovish? I asked, and I felt instantly guilty for forgetting about the kind innkeeper who helped Zoe and me to the ruined cliff city. The last time we interacted was when Zoe and I had to flee from the rooftop of his inn when Bala Ren and his cronies tracked us down. The furry koala elder distracted them, gave us his gold seeker Rufus, and told us how to get into the underground crypt that led into the ruined palace. Oh, I completely forgot how I asked Horace to find out what happened to him. Now I feel bad.
Don't fret so,
Shay said right when a handful of palace servants rounded one of the giant potted bonsai-looking trees, carrying trays loaded with fragrant, steaming copper bowls.
Eat now, so you may replenish your strength.
When one of the bowls was placed in front of me, I peered inside to see what was giving off the delicious scent of lemongrass and spicy chili. The spicy aromas reminded me of some of my favorite Thai cuisine, and the soup in front of me looked like a tom kha with chunks of what looked similar to chicken breast, sliced red pepper things, and herbs all floating in a creamy broth. As my stomach suddenly cramped with hunger, I wondered if the soup would be enough to tide me over. But when I took my first mouthful of the briny, spicy concoction, I worried for nothing. From the moment the soup hit my stomach, a warm and deeply satisfied feeling filled me up from the tips of my toes all the way to the roots of my hair. I didn't even surface from my food ecstasy until after I nearly licked my third bowl clean, and I felt a little embarrassed as I slurped the last bit of broth from the bottom of my bowl. Sorry about that, I said as I rubbed the back of my neck. I was really hungry.
It must be the effects from the gem tree bark, Jenner mused, as he tweaked his monocle like he was a seasoned botanist,
which, all things considered about the knowledgeable koala man, was entirely possible.
Do not apologize, and please, I would prefer you to eat your fill while I talk.
Okay. I slumped in relief, because I was still starving, and I smiled gratefully when both of my wives slid their helpings closer. What do I need to know?
After you left the gates in, no one has heard from the innkeeper, old Tovish. Jenner explained,
while I sipped my soup at a more normal pace now that my stomach wasn't trying to eat its own lining.
But the Lady Shay is right to tell you not to fret. If I remember anything about my wily mentor, it is the fact that he is resourceful, wickedly smart, and probably had a good reason for not wanting to be found until he so chooses. I have no doubt he will eventually pop up.
If you say so, I shrugged, and put my spoon down in my empty bowl. I just hope he really is all right. He helped us out despite the fact we kind of Miley Cyrus'd his life and wrecked his hermitage. I hate that I brought him in any kind of trouble.
He will be fine, lad, trust me.
Jenner patted the top of my wrist in a dismissive way, but I could tell by the look in his eyes he was grateful someone else cared about the seemingly isolated koala elder.
But now on to our logistical matters. Arvid should be with Ryland loading the gold and preparing the carriages. I hope you don't mind the presumption, Lady Shay, but I already instructed Ryland to tie Prosper to your personal carriage. Did I assume correctly that you would like to board the Canterfly at the stables there?
Yes, for now. Thank you,
Shay said with a gracious dip of her wildly braided head.
I can tell having you around will be a major benefit, Mr. Jenner.
Oh, pish!
The man waved away the compliment with his furry hand, as if it was a bothersome fly, but his large, fluffy ears trembled and indicated how pleased he was.
I simply must introduce you to Nevra, my most trusted house manager,
Shay said with a lovely smile on her heart-shaped lips.
You two would get on splendidly. I just know it.
I look forward to it, he said. So, Miss Zoe will accompany us back to the manor, and you and the Lady Shay will go back to... By the way, have you considered what to name your estates?
I said, as I leaned back from the table, finally fully sated. And, like a shadow, the palace servers whisked away the platters. I still need to think about the other place, but I was thinking the manor can be called Ithaca Manor, because no matter how far away an odyssey takes me, I will always want to return home.
That is most fitting, lad,
Jenner said, as he jotted down the name.
You will have to regale us where the legend Ithaca is no doubt from.
A lot of Homer's Odyssey is kind of boring, but I think I remember most of the cool parts, I said, and I winked at Zoe in particular as her cat ears perked forward in interest.
I too would like to hear those stories,
she said right when another server brought forth one last platter covered in a silver dome.
I believe I have what the lady has requested, the server said as he bowed his head to Zoe.
Thank you,
she replied, and the server set the small platter on the table in front of me, bowed once again, and turned smartly on his heels to get back to his palatial duties.
I'm not sure I can eat any more, to be honest, I groaned as I patted my full stomach.
It is not for eating,
Zoe said with one of her mischievous smiles.
Is it the surprise you mentioned before I left? I asked.
You'll just have to see,
she purred. I was curious, so I reached for the covered dome to reveal my prize. And after a morning full of twists and turns, I wondered what else was in store for me.